Well, just so we're all on the same page here, I am not speaking this morning, and my friend Pastor Mike is going to be speaking, but there's a reason for that, and that's because as a church, you are incredibly generous to me, and you allow me time throughout the year to study. And that means I get to go away and sit with books in my Bible and read. And it's an awesome time for me just to get refreshed and to get ready for what's coming in the fall. And that happened this previous week. And Pastor Wes gave me some awesome wisdom when he said, when you're on your study break, make sure that you're not preaching the Sunday afterwards, or the entire time during your study break, you're just thinking of the message and it's useless. And so that's what I did this week. I just was able to study. And I am super thankful for Pastor Mike, who said yes to speaking today. Pastor Mike is an awesome guy. He's our congregational care pastor. And one of the things I love about Mike is that he is always there for you. And he's always there for me. He's been one of the people that has been my biggest supporters and encouragers, and he prays for me all the time. And so this morning, I'm excited for you to get to hear Pastor Mike. Would you welcome him to the stage this morning?
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that very much. When Pastor asked me to speak, I said yes, I think even before he got through the question. So I am truly honored that he would ask me to speak, and it's an honor to stand before you this morning. I know that even though he's had a study break, he could come up here and shoot from the hip and he would nail it. But I'm glad to be here this morning. And just want to let you know, if you want to get to lunch by 1, please pray for me. I think I heard somebody say, is he serious? I think it was Pastor Joel. Just wipe that bead of sweat off your forehead there, my friend. Before we get into the story with Joseph, I have a couple of questions that I want to ask you. Have you ever just opened the Bible and started reading either the book of the Bible or a story in the Bible, and just read, take your time and just read through that story and look at the continuity and see the connections that happen through that story or through that book of the Bible, the things that get connected for us so that we have a broader perspective, a broader understanding of who is writing, why they're writing it, and who they're writing it to, and what's the purpose of it. When I've done that through the years, I have come up with something that I personally have called a scarlet thread. And the scarlet thread that can run through the continuity of Scripture is God's presence and His purpose. And that continuity and understanding that scarlet thread has just meant so much to me. The scarlet thread, there's a verse in the Bible that says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. There's a promise that we have in Christ through the blood that He shed on the cross, that we can receive from Him the forgiveness of sins and have a life that is completely different. We can have it whole and healed and well and able to live out a life for Him. That scarlet thread, I believe that scarlet thread runs through the story of Joseph. And I hope that we can find that as we read through the story this morning. Another question that I have for you is that when we read this story, are we just reading it as a story about someone who lived some time ago, that just we're reading something about someone? Or are we really able to find a way of relating and connecting with what we're reading through the Scripture and through the Word? I believe that there are a couple of things that we can find today that we can really relate to from the story of Joseph. We're going to be starting in the end of chapter Genesis 41, so if you would find your way there in whatever Bible you use. But let's review for a moment. Up to this moment, or up to this time in the story of Joseph, much of what he experienced was outside of his control. Let's remember that he was a favorite son. That wasn't his choosing. His brothers hated him for it, and his brothers chose, they wanted to kill him, but the brothers chose the lesser of two evils, and they decided to pocket some cash and sell him off to slavery. Once he was in slavery, God began to turn things around, but then soon after that, he was wrongly accused. He was falsely accused and wrongly convicted, sent to prison. While he was in prison, God was still moving in his life, and he was forgotten. So there are many things that brought Joseph to this time in his life. When we think about how we can relate to Joseph, I hope that the way that you find to relate to Joseph is not having siblings that wanted to really kill you. I hope that is not the case. When I read through the story of Joseph, I just really marvel at his heart through his experience. He didn't have the Bible. He didn't have a church. I don't believe that Jacob had the Keys for Kids devotional that he could have used while raising all of their sons and raising the sons. Now, when they learned about God, it was passed down to them through conversations, good old communications, just talking about God, talking about how God was real to Jacob and how Jacob could relay the things that happened from Isaac and Abraham down through their family, that the stories of God that they could connect to and relate to. The thing that I marvel at about Joseph is that through everything that he was going through, there was something that he learned that he can truly rely on God in every circumstances. And as we get caught up with Joseph, even the many years that he had spent in Egypt, it didn't change his heart. The Egyptians have many gods that they worship, that they follow, they pray to. Joseph, in his heart, wasn't changed. He wasn't moved from what he knew. He did not let go of the God he knew. Can you relate to things happening in your life that are outside of your control? Loss, sickness, changes that impact your life, cause you to go a different direction. It wasn't your plan. It wasn't your way. Even in these times in our lives, we need to get to follow that example that Joseph gave us, that we cannot let go of the God that we know. Pastor Joel has been using some cinematic and literary concepts of walking through these different plot twists through the story of Joseph. I am not the person that should be standing before you and talking about any cinematic or literary concept, believe me. Actually, it kind of sends shivers down my spine when I remember my high school college prep English class and reading through Great Expectations with Pip and whoever else was in that story. The cinematic and the literary concept here is a dramatic irony. I always thought irony was what happened when what you did when your clothes got wrinkles, you irony. No? See, I told you. Should not be explaining these things. But in this story, an example of this would be the Star Wars movie. The audience knew that Darth Vader was Luke's father before Luke did, right? Many of you may or may not know, we have a son named Luke. And he heard that infamous line many, many times through his life. What is that line? Luke, I am your father. He liked it so much that he thought it'd be a good idea to etch that phrase in our front porch with a power washer. He wanted it to stay there, but I said, no. Let's get caught up with the story. The story here, as we're reading through the story, we get to see both sides. Kind of like in Star Wars, we see Luke, we see his development, we see the dark side and Darth Vader. And here we see Joseph, everything that Joseph has been going through. And we also see Jacob and the brothers and everything that they are going through. And we can see the drama that's approaching. As we remember watching different movies, the music begins to change right here from a soft melody to a deeper thud, and you can hear the bass coming through. There's drama, there's something building. We see that building. The brothers and Joseph, they don't have that experience. They don't see that coming, but it is coming. To get caught up with the story, we're going to catch up with Jacob and the brothers, and when the famine begins, and prosperous years are gone, have come and gone, that the famine begins. And for Jacob and the brothers, things are really changing for them in the famine. But things have also changed for Joseph as well. So if you would look at Genesis chapter 41, verses 50 and 52. Should have had my Bible opened up there. I want to read these verses because I want us to, it's taking actually a step back from the brothers and where they are right now. But it's getting a picture of where Joseph is. And I want us to catch these thoughts about where Joseph is. In verses 50 and 52 of chapter 41. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all of my trouble and all of my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." This is where Joseph is right now. He's gone through all the things that we had talked about, and now he has been elevated to a very high and very powerful position in Egypt. He's about 37 years old. So he was sold into slavery when he was about 17. So about 20 years has passed. He's married. And during this time, he's had a couple of kids. But I think it's really important for us to catch where Joseph is right now before the brothers come back into the picture. The names of the kids, I think, is also significant. Because he's been in Egypt for 20 years. That culture has been ever present in his daily life. It didn't change him. It didn't change his heart of what he has known all his life. He names his first son Manasseh. He says it means forget. He's ready to forget everything that he's been through. And then his second son Ephraim, he's recognizing that God has made him fruitful in his suffering, where he is. Joseph doesn't name his sons Egyptian names. You would think that having an Egyptian wife, having the Egyptian culture being just always around you, that there would have been that influence. He didn't allow that to influence him, to change him from his heart and his position with God. He doesn't forget the family heritage that he has. Joseph is moving on. He is getting ready. He's just saying, "I'm done. I'm done with all of it. I've thought about it. I've dealt with it. I've managed all of that stuff. I'm over it. I'm ready to get into the fruitfulness of what God has provided for me." Read with me in chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where did you come from?" he asked. And they said, "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Joseph has made the decision to move on. One day he goes to work, bam, he's face to face with his past. One more time. Can any of us relate to that? That we have been through things in our lives that we have been willing to say, "Okay, God, thank you. I'm glad that you've walked me through all of these things. I'm ready to move on." And then God says, "Not yet. There's something I want to deal with in you." When God gets to that point of saying, "There's something I want to deal with in your life," it's for a very good reason. And we need to understand that his purpose and his desire is better than we could know. And Joseph gives us a good example to follow. Don't let go of the God you know. Facing those things from the past, the old hurts, the wounds, and how fresh they can feel and reopened, can be a challenge, can be hurtful. How do we deal with this? How do we do this? It's done in not forgetting the God we know. Here in the story, Joseph recognizes them right away. He knows who they are. He could have said, "Hey, it's me, your brother. Remember? Let's reconcile." But he doesn't. He could have said, "Hey, it's me. Now you're going to pay for what you did." But he didn't. He could have had vengeance. Joseph remembers his dreams. And he could have said, "Hey, remember? I told you so. You were going to come and bow your face to the ground before me." But he didn't. The brothers are starting to feel the heat. Joseph doesn't reveal himself, speaks harshly to them. And the brothers are a little bit in fear. They're coming in absolute need to take the food back to their family. And Joseph is being kind of rough. The brothers start to feel the heat a little bit. There are three areas in our lives that we need God's grace. And the first one is we need God's grace to deal with our sin and our mistakes. The brothers are feeling it. 20 years have passed. Joseph is moving on. He's moving through it. He's dealt with it. But the brothers haven't. They have been living out every day what they have done to their brother Joseph. Read with me in chapter 42, verses 21 and 22. The brothers are speaking to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against this boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." The brothers feel like this is God's retribution on them. And we know in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, that God says, "God will not be mocked. A man will reap what he sows." Brothers didn't have Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, that they could apply this to their life. But they feel and they know that what's happening to us is because of what we did to our brother. For us, when we realize our sin and our mistake, We just need to know we can go to God and receive the forgiveness of our sins, receive His love and forgiveness, that we can be restored to Him and live that life that He wants us to. We need His grace in our sins and our mistakes. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." I don't know if you were listening to the songs. As I was doing that, every song that said spoke to the story that we're reading today about God's faithfulness. Not letting go. Don't let go. Another area that we need God's grace is to deal with our own wounds. Joseph comes face to face with his past and the wounds from his past. When Joseph hears the brothers talking about their sin and their mistake with him, directly related to him, Joseph weeps. He is cut to the heart having to face this one more time. How raw must Joseph have felt in that moment of feeling like I'm ready to move on, and some of the first people that you see in your day are your brothers that wanted to kill you, tried to kill you, sold you off, and just said, "See ya." That's who you see. What emotions must have been coming back up within Joseph and having to deal with his past and to deal with those wounds. When we have wounds in our heart, we have to be willing to go there with God when He says, "There's something I would like to deal with in your life. Let's go there." We must trust the process that God has for us. Pastor Joel talked about one of the steps in the process is waiting. Learning to wait on God and wait for the things of God to come to pass in our lives. Part of this process is going there with God, with our wounds. If we don't go there with God, He can't take us to the place that He really wants us to be. Paul, the Apostle Paul, faced a similar situation that he was going through in his life. He was facing, the scripture isn't really clear about it, but he was facing some physical problem in his life. He sought God, he asked God, "Take it, just get rid of it for me, heal me. I've seen you heal people, I've seen you do this for other people, do this for me." And in my Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 is in red. So that tells me that Paul had an encounter with God, that God spoke to him, that Paul could write this in red and say, "These are the words of Christ." And what Paul says is that my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I've talked to Pastor Joel about this a few times before, that there is a sufficiency in Christ that's available to us. I don't think we get all out of that sufficiency that we can. Sufficiency just simply means enough. Just to say that, it doesn't seem enough for some of the things that we can face in our lives. But is Jesus enough? With whatever you have faced in your life, is Jesus enough? I know that I could say that, you know, whatever we face can come off the lips really easily. But I really mean it. That whatever you could have faced in your past, whatever you're currently facing, whatever it is, God's grace is enough. We need to tap into that sufficiency and don't let go of the God you know. The third way that we need grace is to have mercy to those who wounded us. Hold on. Our grandson would say, wait, what? Did you just say what I think you said? Yeah. We need God's grace to have mercy to those who actually caused the wounds. Mercy means to have compassion or forgiveness towards someone whom it is within our power to punish. Joseph has that power. No one would question his actions. He's the second. He can say it. People will do it. No question. But reading through this story, there were some glimpses, just snapshots of Joseph's heart along the way. And I want to focus on those. Focus how he could bend through everything he's been through. Want to forget the past, be faced with the past, and still walk in mercy with his brothers. These are some of the glimpses of Joseph's heart. In verse 18, he drops a little nugget out there and he says, I fear God. He's been in an Egyptian culture where they worship many gods. And he says, I worship the big G. I fear the big G God to his brothers in explaining these things that he's testing them with. In verse 25, we see Joseph give the brothers provisions for their journey. He just doesn't give them the grain that they paid for. He gives them that plus provisions for their journey. Joseph isn't taking their feet off of the fire by any means. He's testing them. He even puts the money back in their bag. Doesn't even take the money for the grain. Brothers don't know it until they get on down the road. But when the brothers get home, they're explaining this test that Joseph is having them do. We've got to take Benjamin back with us. Jacob's like, no, you're not. I've lost Rachel. I've lost Joseph. I'm not about to lose another one. You're not taking Benjamin. But that's the test. They have to bring Benjamin back. And as the brothers are explaining this, the brothers relate to him, well, this is what Joseph told us, that if we bring Benjamin back, that he will let us live in the land free and move about freely in a foreign land. These are some glimpses into Joseph's heart of how he is bestowing mercy on his brothers, and they are completely unaware. Joseph did not forget the God that he knew, that he could still walk in mercy, having been through so much. When we get to the place that we can allow God to forgive us, that we can allow God to work on our hearts, heal our wounds, and get into mercy toward others, that's next level in our walk with God. But that's what he wants for us. That's what he has for us in that sufficiency in Christ, that we have that available. But we need to go to him and say, make it happen in me. Let me experience that sufficiency that I can walk in the mercy to those that wounded me and to move past the past. When we're able to walk in that level of mercy, there's an evidence of what God has truly done in our hearts that we can express to those
even that caused the wounds. God's love, his faithfulness, and that can come out of us toward them. That is ultimately the true power of the gospel, that we can be forgiven, that we can receive everything that God has for us in whatever we face. As we wrap up, a couple things that I think are really important to remember is that Joseph is a part of a family of promise. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. God gave Abraham the promise, I am going to make you father of many nations. And if we read the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those are some messy stories. As messy as it can be, God still does the work to fulfill the promise. God does the work to fulfill the promise. He is faithful. You are a person of promise. There are promises that you have in this book that may not have been fully realized to the sufficiency that Christ has made available to you yet. But it's available. We can take it. You are a person of promise, and God wants to fulfill every promise that he has for you. God does not want us to sit in the consequences of our sin and our mistakes. He wants us to receive the forgiveness and have the freedom. God does not want us to stay wounded by any means. He wants our hearts to be healed and to have a wholeness that is afforded to us in Christ. He wants us to move in the power of his love and mercy. If we don't, he can't. Maybe you can relate to one or both of the circumstances where you faced things that were outside of your control, life changed, wasn't your plan. Maybe you can relate to being faced with your past and the hurtfulness of your past. Maybe you have resisted God because of these circumstances. Don't forget the God that you know and trust him in this process of working through things. It can be unsettling, can be unnerving, can be very unsure, but God is faithful. He is the one that will do it. And I am not so naive to think that there could be someone here that has never trusted Christ as their Savior for the first time. Trust him in what he would want to do. Don't hold back. Don't let that uneasiness keep you from getting into the life that God has for you. It takes us knowing that God has the answer. Jesus is the answer. Now it's time to move. Pray with me, if you will. Father, I thank you so much for this story of Joseph, that we can walk through this story, see everything that he has been through, and we can see even that scarlet thread of your presence and your purpose in his life. But Lord, that we can make it real for us, that we can see your presence and your purpose in our lives and what you want to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that the word that has gone out this morning would complete the promise that is written, that your word will not return to you void, that it will go and it will do what it was sent to accomplish. I ask that you would do that for us today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. I wanted to just remind you of a few things real quick here. The first is that on September 9th, we are having our fall kickoff, that cookout, and so we just want you to make sure that you have that marked down on your calendar, that you're ready and you're going to come and sign up for food, and we're going to have an awesome, awesome time together. And don't worry, kickoff for the football games isn't until 3:30 that day, and so we're ending at 2, we're good to go, we're golden, guys. And then I also wanted to remind you that on the 26th of August, we will be having the mobile food pantry at our St. John's campus. And Pastor Mike, I just wanted to say thank you for reminding us this morning of the God that we know, that our God is gracious and that our God is incredibly merciful towards us. And so I invite you to stand as I give you a word of benediction this morning. Would you stand, please? As we leave this place, I invite you to go. But do not forget the God that you know. You are dismissed.